Becoming the New Wineskin by Russ Painter is brought to you by Kingdom Training Institute. Our goal is life transformation through education and mentoring.
So today I want to share with you a little bit more in depth concerning kind of the flow of a new wineskin gathering. And as I've mentioned, the one place in the New Testament, other than the fact that in the book of Acts, it, you know, tells us that they met pretty much every day from house to house, and then they would also meet in the temple. Here in 1 Corinthians 14, we actually have some clear instruction from Paul concerning what a new wineskin gathering should look like or could look like. Let me put it that way. Because God doesn't prescribe in the same way that he did under the old covenant. And I'll mention again, under the old covenant, the people of God did not have the kind of personal relationship with God that we do. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them or upon them. They couldn't hear his voice like that. So everything had to be spelled out very, very clearly. In the new covenant, that all goes out the window, because now we walk with him. We hear him. We are basically flowing with his heart. And so that changes, or should change, the very nature of how we gather together. It's unfortunate that the church moved away from that. You know, under Constantine, we saw the institutionalization of the church, which created a false distinction between professional clergy and the laity, the rest of us, and also instituted a written liturgy that was followed. Every service, every meeting was followed, you know, by a written down format. None of that is ever taught in the New Testament. And so I'm just telling you the truth. Don't get mad at me, right? Don't shoot the messenger. So in 1 Corinthians 14, let me just go ahead and read for you this passage starting in verse 26. He writes, "What is the outcome then? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two, or at the most three, and each in turn, and let one interpret. And if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, let the first keep silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." And then if you want to also jump down to verse 40, where he says, "Let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner." Let all things be done, right? So here we have a description of what we can look for, how this should all play out when we gather together. And so for me, you know, the most foundational part of this is verse 26, where he says, "When you assemble." Now, of course, you know, that right in line with the verse in Hebrews that says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, right? That's a command that we should get together with one another. We need it, right? So when is just simply a given, right? When you get together, here's what should happen, okay? Each one, right? I'm an each one, you're an each one, okay? As I said before, everybody gets to play. So that means that we're all qualified. We're all anointed. We all have whatever God needs us to have so that we can participate in this gathering and bring whatever God is giving us to bring. So, so important, right? You don't see here any dichotomy between professional and non-professional, right? There's not even an indication that the fivefold should lead the way. That's not here. It's not here. Each one that when you gather, right, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. Okay, so enough said with that. But that's the pattern. We need to understand that, right? So when we get together, we are all free to be used by the Lord in whatever ways he wants to use us, whatever ways he wants to speak through us, minister through us. He's the boss, right? That's the foundation for all of this. So this foundational truth, right, that we all have a part to play means what? If I don't participate or if I hold back because maybe I'm, you know, nervous or afraid I'll make a mistake or something like that, then something vital will be missing out of the meeting. It's just that simple. We're all gathered together for the purpose of building one another up and hearing accurately what the Lord is trying to say to us in that particular gathering. And each of us gets a piece of that puzzle. So yeah, if any of us holds back, you know, and doesn't share because maybe we're not sure or whatever, something will be missing. Now, it's not the end of the world either, but you got to realize that that's the consequence. And so anytime we've met and, you know, it seemed like that people weren't really freely sharing, I would make that point. Say, guys, if God's showing you something, we all need to hear that. We need to hear that. So just share it. We'll help you with it. We'll help you figure out what the Lord is showing you or saying, because sometimes, you know, if you get a kind of a mental image or a picture that you feel like the Lord is showing you, like, what in the world does that mean? You don't know till you share it, right? And then somebody goes, oh, I know what that means. And they can interpret it, right? And we all get blessed by that. So important that we understand how important each of us is when we get together in this new wineskin. So Paul then breaks down some of the different expressions that can occur. Is this an exhaustive list, or is this a list of the only things? No, of course not. He's illustrating the kinds of things that can be done in a new wineskin gathering, but by no means is this the only, you know, things that are allowed, right? He says that each one has a psalm. Now that's, you know, that's worship, okay? And in many of these kind of gatherings, you don't necessarily have a worship leader. I know that that's kind of been our tradition. It's been a tradition. Let's be real about that. And I say that as a worship leader, okay? I've led worship for most of my life. Yet, I also know that I am not someone, I'm not indispensable. Did I say that right? I am very dispensable. You don't necessarily need a worship leader, because if you come with a song on your heart and say, I just feel like we're supposed to sing this song, even if you don't have a musician, a cappella is beautiful, right? So all of us need to have, you know, a sense of responsibility for worship when we gather. How are we going to worship the Lord tonight, right? And whatever the Lord is showing us. And if you have a worship leader, right? Hey, I think we should sing this song. And sing it. Do it, right? Whatever it might be. So very important that we understand that that's the freedom that we have. You know, when I typically lead in a situation like this, I'll have a few ideas. But I'll make it clear, boy, I get this big frog in my throat today. Get out in the name of Jesus. I make it clear, if the Lord shows you something, gives you a song, please let me know and we'll do it. As long as I know how to play it. And if we don't, we'll just sing it a cappella. All right. Very simple. So Psalm, a teaching. Now, we are so used to having teachings that are three-point sermons and, you know, something that's been researched and prepared for. And what is going on with me today? Oh, my goodness. Excuse me. So that's not what he's talking about here. Teaching in this context is merely sharing a truth that God has brought to you that has changed your life in some way, transformed you in some way. Hey, I got to share with you. God spoke to me the other day from this verse, and it just really impacted me, and I feel like he wants me to share it with you. All right. Again, it's not some major, major message that's going to take an hour for you to present. These are, I used to call them pop-up teachings, right? Because you don't need to go more than a few minutes to share what the Lord gave you, right? Very simple. Now, this doesn't negate the need for those longer, in-depth teachings, but that this environment, the new wineskin, is not the place for that because you don't want to monopolize. You just don't. If you do, you're actually hindering the flow of the Holy Spirit, who wants to flow through everybody, right? So if God is giving you a teaching gift, like with me, I have to schedule special times where I'm saying, okay, guys, I'm going to be sharing some in-depth stuff. And that's the purpose of the gathering for that kind of teaching. New wineskin, no. Okay. So each one has a teaching, has a revelation. Now this covers a large kind of, you know, variety of things that can come through prophetic stuff. It can come through a spontaneous rhema from the Bible as you're in the midst of something, the Lord highlights a particular verse, not that you teach it, but you just share that revelation. It could be a vision that you have, just anything from a mental image to a full-blown, you know, kind of vision that you have. There's so many different ways that the Lord can bring revelation that we just have to stay open to it and allow him to do that. Right. It could be out of all the different gifts of the Spirit that we see in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Right. You could get a word of knowledge. God is showing me that someone here, you know, is suffering with pain in their right leg. Who is that? Right. OK, we're going to pray and heal you. OK, things like that can happen. Right. Discerning of spirits, you know, prophecy itself. It's all of these different things are fair game in a new wineskin gathering. Why? Because they're all manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So whatever kinds of revelation God wants to bring, you might have had a dream the night before, and the Lord is saying, I want you to share the dream, because that's something that is important for the body to receive truth from, right? So whatever it might be, we just need to be open and willing to flow with what that looks like, right? So revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, right? There are many gatherings that where tongues and interpretation just aren't practiced very often. And I think that just may be because there's this unfamiliarity with it, or people feel like, well, tongues is just my private thing. You know, I don't make a big deal about tongues. It's a gift, right? But when you give a message in tongues in public, there has to be an interpretation. Otherwise, you know, you're not doing anything for anybody, right? So I always say to folks, if God gives you a message in tongues, you also want to ask him for the interpretation so that you can share that, you know, in the native language. Many times there will be someone there that's gifted in interpretation, and that's very cool. So all these different things that Paul is describing, again, they're all fair game. Is whatever the Lord is wanting us to engage in, that's what we should do, okay? Now, Paul goes on to give some very practical instruction with regard to the flow of this kind of a gathering. He says, you know, if their message is in tongues, there needs to be an interpreter, someone that, you know, is willing to interpret that. but don't do more than two or three messages in tongues. And he echoes that with when it comes to prophecy. He says, just two or three at a time, please. Now, think about this, right? You know as well as I do that our brains can only process so much. So for there to be this kind of endless stream of tongues and interpretation and prophecy, you know, in a gathering, no. First of all, any revelation that the Lord gives in a gathering, any revelation that comes forth demands a response. Okay? If we don't respond to what the Lord is saying, that's disobedience as far as I'm concerned, because he's not sharing these things, you know, for his benefit or for our entertainment. He wants to communicate something to us that's very important. So when we are hearing revelation come forth, you know, in a particular gathering, I'm just going to pull my notes up here for this. The fact that our human memory has its limits, right? Can't remember everything that's being spoken if it's just this one long stream of prophecies or tongues and interpretation. So it just makes sense to keep it in bite-sized chunks, right? Two people, maybe three at the most. Then we're going to process that. We're going to talk about it. You know, when it talks here about passing judgment, right? Because it says, let two or three prophets and let the rest pass judgment. That doesn't mean that, you know, you're sitting there going, well, that was a horrible prophecy, or no, you're wrong. No, no, no. The idea there is basically to discern what the Lord is saying and how does that relate to what's already in the scriptures, right? The Bible's the foundation for everything prophetic, right? And so when we share, we want to be sure that it lines up with the word and that we really understand the crux of what God is trying to communicate to us and what we should do about it. Is it something that we need to repent of? Is it strategy regarding something he wants us to start to engage in as the body of Christ? Many different things. Ministry that needs to happen with folks that are there. There's many different possibilities. But again, it's really being clear as to how to handle it, what to do. Now, another aspect of this, which often kind of throws people off, is, well, what if someone says something that is clearly wrong and unscriptural? Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Well, first of all, let me say this. The only way you learn how to discern is by hearing people say things that are coming out of their flesh or out of another, you know, thought pattern that's not from the heart of the Father, right? Someone, and we've had this happen where people get up and begin to give these, you know, these highly judgmental words, you know, God is not happy. He is coming to judge you all for your sin, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa, buddy, you know, and I've had to stop people like that and say, that's not New Covenant prophecy. Okay. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means there has to be something redemptive in any revelation that we receive, or you're speaking from the wrong side of the tracks, okay? And so sometimes it'll happen, but it's important that people are exposed to that so that they can experience what it's like to hear something that just goes, "Ew," inside you, right? And it's not that difficult to deal with it. Most times it's people are just, you know, they just need some additional discipleship. And you can do that. You can take them aside and say, let's talk about what you shared. Because, you know, there were some things about that really weren't aligned with the heart of the Father, right? And you use it as an opportunity to share with them and help them to grow, right? So we cannot shut down the Holy Spirit for fear that somebody's going to make a mistake, right? I love Kathy Walters. She's someone that she and her husband David have been part of revival culture, you know, for probably 30, 40 years. And she wrote an article in which she said, you know what, if it really goes that south, just say, well, let's all go get some coffee. And you just don't take yourself so seriously. You know, it's not that big a deal. If the meeting just somehow doesn't work that day, oh, well, we'll try it again next time. Let's not get too freaked out about it, because sometimes things happen, right? And all right, Lord, you know, what do you want to show us from all, you know, from what happened here? What's the takeaway, right? So that's so important. One of the things that the religious spirit does, it tries to make you feel like things are so solemn and somber and serious, you know, that nothing could ever be done that's inappropriate. Come on. You know, we're living real life with a real Lord who loves us just the way we are and is taking us places in Him to grow us up. So if things are a little messy at times, so what? You know what? Love covers a multitude of sins, and we're just going to continue to love and help one another, and we're going to grow together. It's okay. It is absolutely okay. I would have no problem saying, all right, you know what? Let's close up here. Let's go get coffee. Let's just go, you know, do something else, because just today wasn't a good day. Next time around, everybody's more aware. Everybody's going to flow better, because we experienced something together and there was no judgment, no condemnation. It's amazing, right? So let's just have a look at a few other thoughts here. I shared with you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, just being free to flow. Let me just touch briefly on this issue of liberty and order, right? Because Paul mentions this twice in verse 26, let all things be done for edification. So that's the standard, you know, is what I am going to share. Is it going to build people up in some way, in their faith, in their understanding of God, right? If that's the case, wide open, let all things be done. Do you see what that does? That removes the spirit of control from the gathering. Anybody in the gathering that thinks it's their right to say yes or no to something, okay, that's not your job. You're not the head of the gathering. You're not the head of the church or the head of the body, okay? It's being real blunt here. Let all things be done. Now, there's nothing wrong if you're kind of unsure about something that the Lord, you know, is showing you or that you're hearing. There's nothing wrong with you checking in with someone maybe that's got a little more experience in this and saying, hey, I feel like the Lord's showing me this, but I don't understand it, right? And just kind of getting some help or confirmation from someone, that's fine. But, you know, when we did our thing, we did not have a microphone cop. We didn't have a microphone wrangler, you know, that got who had the job of deciding what's going to be spoken. No, the mic is there. You got something, share it, right? So let all things be done. He then goes on to say here in verse 40 that let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. So that has been taken as an excuse for control. Well, obviously, we have to decide what is proper and what is orderly. No. Again, not our job. The Lord is quite capable of communicating what is proper and what is orderly. And so how does that work? Well, you got to understand what the words mean, right? So the idea here of being orderly, I got to scroll down here a little bit more to find my notes. let all things be done properly. So this word means to express yourself becomingly, right? Well, in other words, when you're going to share, do it in such a way that you're not in the way, that you're speaking clearly, that you are, you know, whatever it is that God gave you, just do your best to communicate it well. Now, I know that's not always easy because we get a little freaked out public speaking, but that's just the learning process, right? Our goal should be to become comfortable enough with the idea of sharing publicly that when God gives us something, we share it in a very gracious, graceful way that is easy for people to receive, right? Then you've got this other idea of, let me scroll down here, in order. So this idea is that things have to be done in a orderly arrangement, to put it in a certain order, right? And it's really talking about the agenda of the gathering. Now, again, this is something that has been totally hijacked by human leadership. You know, well, I've got an agenda for this gathering. I've got an agenda for this meeting. Really? Okay. Are you submitting that to the Lord in case he has some different ideas? That's what this is really talking about. You know, that in a gathering, he's the one that sets the agenda. And if we're sensitive to the agenda, we'll flow with him. So what does that mean? Well, practically, one of the things that it means is that if we're in a particular flow in the gathering where God is really giving us things to celebrate and we're just you know, joyful and you know, really praising the Lord and having that kind of a celebratory moment, right? And you all of a sudden feel like God is, you know, wanting to us to repent of something. Okay, I'm not saying that that's not part of his agenda. What I am saying, it's not part of the current agenda because that's not where the meeting is flowing right now. Right now, it's a celebration. So your issue with that is going to be, okay, Lord, this is really different from where we are right now. When do you want to shift us into this new direction? That's the question. And again, if you feel uncertain about that, talk to somebody. Talk to someone that's been doing this for a while and say, hey, I don't know what to do about this, but this is what God's showing me, right? And typically, my response to that would be, okay, well, let's just, you know, there'll come a point in time in the gathering where this moment will be over and we'll just be here waiting on the Lord for the next thing. And there you go. That could be the next thing, okay? So again, a lot of this is really, you know, stuff that you just learn through doing it. And honestly, there are no major mistakes here. It's okay, you know, let's learn from an inappropriate timing situation where somebody jumped in with something that was like totally out of, you know, out of time with respect to what the Lord was doing currently, right? That's fine. We'll learn from that. We'll move on. It's no big deal, right? Nobody is chronicling these meetings and you know, publishing a record of all the things that went wrong. No, none of that's happening. God's not doing that, right? So just to be free, to be able to, you know, flow together and enjoy it. Oh my gosh. If there isn't joy in this, something's radically wrong. And you know yourself, that in many cases, you know, the kinds of church services that we've all grown up with, it's not a whole lot of joy going on there. It just isn't. You know, a lot of times you would leave feeling beat up. You know, it's like, oh, what a crummy Christian I am, you know, because that was kind of the way the message was shared. You know what I'm saying? So I got to stop. I just realized, wow, it's 9 o'clock and, you know, I've been at this now for a half hour. It's a big subject, obviously. And if you've got questions, if you want to chat with me about it, feel free. I would love to hear from you. We can have, you know, more in depth on it if you'd like. Or if you think I should talk about something maybe, you know, tomorrow or the day after that relates to this, please send me a Facebook message and I'll have a look at that. And, you know, we can go a little deeper. But this gives you kind of a rough outline based on 1 Corinthians 14, that you should have no problem when you get together with folks, say, okay, you know, we're going to follow the pattern right here in the Bible. How about that? All right. Michael, that's a great question. It doesn't happen in those formats. It doesn't happen. He's asking, how does this happen in the age of COVID and church formats where only staff gets to share what God is doing? It's not going to happen there. It's going to happen when we have our own little gatherings in our houses. It's the only way to do that. Okay. Then everyone will want to share. We don't have enough time for that. Yeah, because we get to determine how much time the Lord gets with us, right? Yeah, we get to tell him, well, Lord, we'll give you this amount of time, but no more. Where's the lordship of Christ in that, right? Oh, my goodness.
For more information about Kingdom Training Institute, visit our website, www.kingdomti.com.